There were people here Sunday morning sitting on those pews that would not have been in a church on Sunday morning. This past Sunday, 9, 10, 13, they would have been at home sleeping. They'd have been at home watching TV. But because we together, not Pastor Ricky or Pastor Jerry or the board, but we together said, let's do something to compel them to come into the house of the Lord. Give them a compelling reason. You know, one of the things they teach us at Best Buy when we're selling things is try to find a way that they cannot say no. You know, well, I don't have the money. Well, you can get a Best Buy credit card. Well, I think I'll wait. Well, the sale ends Saturday. You know, there's just got, you got to, well, I'm going to come back and get my wife. Well, this is what I throw into that. Well, you know, I don't know your wife, but I really feel like, she would want you to be happy. Why don't you go ahead and get that? Well, you know what, folks, we got to give people things like that. If we're going to do it for a TV, we're going to do it for Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you give him a hand of praise and say, Lord, more to come. Stand up with me tonight. Stand up with me. Now, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Everybody say there's more at Westmoreland. More is in our DNA. Amen. Westmoreland. Amen. More land to be taken. Amen. Brother Jerry. Woo! I'm getting, this thing's flowing, Brother Jerry. More land. Look at the last two words. Westmoreland. More thing. More. Amen. Oh, I'm gonna get focused here. All right. Genesis chapter 22. And as you're turning to Genesis 22, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every one of you that cooked. Some of you ladies cooked potatoes, string beans. Some of you got the barbecue, Brother Blue. So many, I'm going to start calling names. I'm going to leave a lot of people out. You know who you are. And it the inner working people of Westmoreland rose to the challenge Sunday. And God kissed it with a rainbow in the sun. Amen. And he is pleased. He said, I am pleased with this. And some of you stayed up late cooking. Some of you, you know, it's not convenient to do days like that. But sometimes we have to go out of our comfort zone and the singing and all of that. And Brother Ray, thank you so much for getting my uncle here Sunday. He had a calling on his life many years ago. All of my daddy's family were Church of God people. And my mama's side was Pentecostal Holiness. And my uncle's not really going to church right now. I hope that he's not watching Facebook, and I hope he don't get mad at me. But if he is, Uncle Charles and Aunt Tanya, I'd love to have you right here. Because my grandmother and your mother and father had a heritage, and it continues right here. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, we're talking about what a timely series. The God who reveals himself. He is revealing himself to us, has revealed. Can you imagine that? God could have said, you know, there was a theory about God that, well, you know, some of the, say, well, God made everything. And, you know, we got to agree that he made, you know, somebody made the stars, and it just didn't happen. But the God, you know, the God that made everything just kind of left it to be and, you know, just made it and left it. No, 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 no. God not only made everything, but I'm going to tell you what, he's concerned about what you had for lunch today. He is concerned about the number of the hair upon your head. He is the God who reveals himself. When you're praying and your hand is hurting and you can't play a guitar, there's a God who steps in. Amen, somebody. So tonight, we're actually starting with the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord. Say that with me. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Now go to Genesis 22, 11 through 14, and I'll let you be seated for another hour. So just, amen. That was a joke. Genesis chapter 22, 11 through 14. If you're there, say amen. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Here am I. And he said, the angel said, do not lay your hand upon the child, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered the ram up, or offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that. Everybody read that last verse, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Would you pray with me? Father, anoint your servant to speak the word of the Lord tonight. Thank you for what you've done Sunday and Thursday. And thank you, God, that you are fulfilling your words, God. You're fulfilling. This is the days of fulfillment, God. Thank you for, we've had days of promises. We've had days of anticipation, days when we have hope, but now we have days of fulfillment and more land, more. And God, we give you the praise that you are Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, we pray that you would allow me to decrease, you to increase, and let this word go forth tonight. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody there's more at Westmoreland. Amen. There's more for Westmoreland. Amen. The names of God. Don't you get an awkward feeling when you see somebody and you cannot recall their, is it just me, or do you feel real uncomfortable about that? And sometimes people will come up to me at Best Buy and they recognize me, but I don't recognize them. And they come up and say, "Ricky, man, it's so good to see you. Don't you remember me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I sure do, but I don't have a clue who you are. But I remember the face, but I don't remember the name." Well, I want to tell you something tonight. God wants you to know his name. He don't want you to feel awkward. In fact, I want to ask a question tonight. How many of you want to know God better? How many of you want to know God more intimately? How many of you want to know God deeper? How many of you want to know God greater? If you want to know God greater, if you want to know God deeper, if you want to know God more intimately, if you want to know God better, then the greatest way to do that is learning his names. Because the truth of the matter is that there are over 300 names and titles of God found throughout the word of the Lord. And each name is God revealing himself in a unique and a special and a distinctive way about God's nature, who he is, about God's character, what he will do, about God's power, what he can do. Now, the way that we choose names and think about names today is not the way people chose and picked out names back in the Bible. We pick out names so much differently than people picked out names. We pick out a name because we like it, or has a nice ring to it, or sentimental value. And sometimes when you hear some names, you're not sure exactly why it was chosen. I heard about the family of Turner. Last name was Turner. And they named their girl Paige. Paige Turner. <All right. laughs> Peace. Children had a, they had a son. They named him, and some of you don't know this book, but Warren. His name was Warren Peace. You know, there's a book named War in Peace. Anyway, Case, they named their little boy Justin, you know, Justin Case, right? or Carl Arm, his last name was Arm, Carl Arm, amen. This is true now. Chris, and his middle initial was B, their last name was Bacon. You know, there's, what is that, actor with the last, Kevin Bacon. Chris B. Bacon, amen. That had to be from Wilson County. I promise you. It was Eastern North Carolina. And, Gene Poole. So there's first name Gene, last name Poole. So, we come up with strange ways in choosing name. And we all remember that song by Johnny Cash. I mean, some of you millennials, let me refer. Johnny Cash was a famous country music singer who could not sing a lick. He was completely off tune. He sang nasal, but people loved to hear him. His name was Johnny Cash. Go to YouTube and look for Johnny Cash. He was the greatest singer that couldn't sing a carry a tune in a bucket. Y'all agree with me on that? I mean, the man could not sing. He could not carry. I mean, I'm telling you. But people loved him. But he came up with a folksy song called A Boy Named Sue. And, you know, the song goes, you know, I named my boy Sue so that he would be tough and take care of himself. But you see, that's not the way the Bible was. When people chose names in the Bible, they were being prophetic over their child. When they had a child, they prayed, they got a hold of the covenant of God, and God began, and he prayed and he fasted about it, and they come up and said, this child is going to have a destiny, and so we're going to name this child, and they would name the child some name with a meaning or a purpose. Jacob. His name meant a supplanter or a trickster. And sometimes those names were prophetic for the good, and sometimes they were prophetic for not the good. Because one name was Jabez. Jabez was named Jabez because his mother bore him in sorrow. But that was like the boy named Sue. All his day, I was born in sorrow, but it instilled in him and through faith that I don't have to live in sorrow. And he prayed. He not only got a name, but he got a heritage of prayer. And we call it now the prayer of Jabez. Lord, enlarge our territory. Keep me from evil. Somebody say amen tonight. And so sometimes a name was changed. For example, Abram's name was changed to Abraham. Simon's name was changed to Peter. Saul of Tarsus, who killed Christians, when he was converted, his name was changed to what? Paul. Because in the Hebrew mind, we're not Hebrews. We're Americans. We're Westerners, or we are from the Western society. That's the Eastern world. We're the Western world. In the Hebrew mind, a name meant something. It spoke about the person's character. Their name was not incidental, but their name, a person's name, was fundamental. And so when we get back to the names of God, every name is not incidental. Every name is fundamental. And praise God, the names of God mean something. They mean something powerful. They help us when times get tough. They spark our faith to move mountains. For example, when David was facing Goliath. Remember the story. Little David, Brother Ray, oh so small. And Goliath, you remember that song? Oh so tall. Odds were stacked against poor little David. But David, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to you what? In the what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now it's little David, oh so tall, and Goliath, oh so small, and nothing could beat little David with the name above every name, the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord God Almighty, the name of the Lord God reveals himself, and you can use that name, you can praise that name, you can whisper that name, you can have that name at the graveside of a loved one. The name of Jesus is a mighty tower, and the righteous run into it. Somebody ought to just stand up tonight and give the Lord praise for the great name. Come on, stand up. For the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that Goliath is coming down. Somebody shout hallelujah. We praise the name of the Lord tonight. Amen. High five somebody and tell them you're blessed and highly favored. Amen. We're probably the only church in America that has church on Wednesday night. I'm just kidding. Amen. I don't mean that pridefully at all, but praise God. We just love church. Amen. And we love the moving of the Lord. But the names of the Lord, pastor's got them written down for you. Jehovah means the self-existent one. Jehovah. Say Jehovah. Self-existent. In other words, he don't need you, but you need him. The self-existent one. He had no beginning. He has no ending. You know how my Aunt May, who is now attending the Ebenezer Pentecostal Holiness Church in Nashville, North Carolina, Pastor Tony Hawley. I understand my Aunt May on my mother's side. She taught me Sunday school at the Vicks Chapel Pentecostal Holiness Church. that is now the Faith Family Worship Center. They built a new church there, but the old Centerbach Church. And she taught me where did God come from? Here's how she taught me that. She said, here's how you can understand it. He's always been. Now that's profound. You know, I haven't always been. I wasn't here in the 40s during the food rationing and World War II. I wasn't alive for the early part of the Vietnam conflict. And I wasn't here when Roosevelt was president. I wasn't here when Robert E. Lee marched across up to Gettysburg. I wasn't. But let me tell you who was. God was there. I wasn't there when they laid the foundation of the great pyramids of Gaza. I wasn't there when the first king was inaugurated and on the British island. I wasn't there at the Norman conquest. I wasn't there when the Magna Carta was signed. I wasn't there when the French Revolution. I wasn't there, but he was there. Hallelujah. There he has always been. Before there was a world, he was that his Jehovah means the self-existent one. He doesn't, if the, you know, the hurricane comes through, the power, don't you dread it? Yeah, the worst thing about a hurricane is the flooding and the lights going out. And let me tell you something. God don't need a generator for when the lights go out. God is light. Hallelujah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He is a mighty God. He's an everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the self-existent one. I'm just stuck here on that point right now. I'm trying to go on to the next point, but our three-pound brain cannot, you know, the human brain, if you take it out, lay it on a scale, is only about 3 to 5 pounds, and 3 to 5 pounds cannot figure out God. And you're trying to figure out, you know, think about that. You're trying to, well, I think I got a better idea. You know, God said do this, but I think I got a better idea. No, you don't. You got a 3-pound brain. Let me tell you, God knows what is best for you. If God says do it, do it. If God says don't hurt yourself. Hallelujah. He's the self-existent one. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Woo. Woo. Somebody came in the other day, and I have a young man that works with me there, and he's actually visited on Easter, and an older man, we were talking about Rocky Mount, and he said, yeah, I used to love to shop at Montgomery Ward. And Jesse, when he walked away, he said, what was Montgomery Ward? Oh, let me tell you, you're never going to go around and say, well, who was that God? No, no, no. He'll be here long after Montgomery Ward, long after we're here, long after the United States, long after Trump, long after your problem, long before your problem, long before your problem. Amen. We talk about first responders. Oh, his name is Jehovah. Amen. The first, now we're going to talk about the compound names. Jehovah dash, and then the compound name. Jehovah-Nissi, the Lord is our banner. You know, and, you know, pastors, we're going to be preaching on all these names. Jehovah-Roy, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah-Roy. Jehovah-Rathi, or Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah-Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah-Shammah, the Lord who is there. Jehovah-Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And by the way, I'm going to be pounding on this. And there's so many Sunday nights that will be my time to preach. I'm going to be talking about the Reformation. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, October 31, 1517, the 95 Theses nailed to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And we're talking about Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, the just shall live by faith. And then the one I'm going to talk about tonight, if I could ever get there, Jehovah Jireh. Say that with me, Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me give you the story. My introduction I knew was going to be a little long, and the main part of the message won't be quite as long because of that. But we find the first mention of Jehovah Jireh. And it is a story of Abraham. Abraham was called by God to offer his only son, Isaac. Now, here's the story. God called Abraham and Sarah to leave their homeland, their land full of idolatry, go to a place they've never been. And that they were told, this is a young couple, Abraham and Sarah. God said, if you'll leave the familiar, leave your surroundings, go to a place, I will make of you a great nation. In fact, the pastor has really been preaching on that a few months ago. And that really, brother, just thinking about that, you know, those messages preceded what we're experiencing now. Amen. So he's preparing us for that, moving into those fulfillment. Amen. And so God said to Abraham, Abraham, you and your wife are going to have children, and they're going to become so great that if you can look and count the stars of the sky, then you could count your descendants. Or Abraham, if you could count the sands on the seashore. Now, here's the deal. They had been married for many years, and they had never had the very first natural born child. They were, I forget the word for barren, impotent, whatever. There was no progeny. They were childless. They had not the first child, and they had been married for many years, but no anything produced from that union. And yet God said, you got to have at least one child and to go on to the rest. Can you say amen? But they had no child. And year after year, God would say, you're going to have so many children. You're going to have so many children that's going to be like the sands of the sea, like the stars of the sky. But year after year, no child. And so finally, I'm cutting through a whole lot to get down to that they finally, the scripture says, in the appointed time, finally, the child comes. Fulfillment. Woo! The belly bump. Can you see Sarah and Abraham on Facebook with the little picture, the gender coming out? It's a boy, you know. They didn't have Facebook back then, trust me. I'm just saying what Abraham and Sarah would have done. I mean, it's a boy. And they have a little boy. Can you imagine how much they love that child? Can you imagine how dear? Can you imagine the spiritual feeling that when Abraham looked at that son? They didn't have any other children. And so that was his only son. Now, Abraham did father a surrogate child through surrogate motherhood, which was a legal and a biblical way to for parents who were childless. It was legal and it was the custom of the day to have a surrogate child. In other words, Abraham was able to father a child with another woman, and legally that child was his and Sarah's. But God didn't say it was going to be a surrogate child. God said it's going to be a child from your wife, and it's very clear. Now, can you imagine how much they loved that child? How many of you love your kids tonight? Let me see your hand. Way high. Amen. Now, how many of you are still glad school's in? Amen. I'm just you love them, but the prettiest sight in the world is that school bus coming around the corner. Amen. Anyway, but listen. Isaac grew into a man, a young adult. And one day God says, Abraham, yes, here am I. God said to Abraham, I want you to take your son and offer him up on a mountain as a sacrifice. Now, I want to talk to you about that for a moment, because let me watch my time here. You've got to understand that this is the year 2017. Even in the remotest part of the jungles of Africa, you might hear of human sacrifice. But I want you to understand that in that day, human sacrifice was the norm. Every deity and god of every group of people required child sacrifice. Literally, there was one god, I believe it was Molech, where you would take the baby, the living baby, offer that living baby to that God. They would heat the arms of the God with very high temperature. And the hands were heated, and the child was literally fried to death, screaming, so that they could appease that God. In that world, parents offered their children an horrible sacrifice all the time. So when Abraham heard from the Lord, offer your son, I know it had to be hard. But at the same time, think about the fact that, okay, other gods do it. My God is requiring me to do it. And it had to hurt Abraham, but yet he had a relationship with God. And he trusted God. Can I tell you, when God calls you to sacrifice something, you can trust him. I said, you can trust him. Don't hold on to anything. Even though it's the most precious thing to you, be willing to, but fact, nothing really belongs to us anyway. The breath in our nostrils belongs to God Almighty. And Lord, I render it back to you. Somebody say amen tonight. So God got his group together and they went to the mountain and they got to the bottom of the mountain. And they were with a group of men, and Abraham told his group, traveling companions, he said, you're going to stay here. I and the lad, and by this time he was 25, around 25. He said, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. And what did he say, Pastor? And come again. Woohoo! Glory, glory, glory. Now, let me tell you. What Abraham was thinking was, I'm going to kill my son, but God's going to raise him back from the dead. So he's thinking to these people, he's saying, you know, we're going to, and he didn't tell them what was going to happen. So Abraham, with a heavy heart, begins to climb the mountain. And every now and then we have to climb some mountains. It's not always easy in this world. I believe in the favor of God. I believe in the blessings of God. But I believe there's some mountains that we got to climb sometimes. I believe there's some valleys we got to go through. I believe there's some troubled waters we may have to traverse. It's not always fun and games. It's not always pleasant. There are things that we have to address, redress. There's times of darkness when God is forming our character, and when the fiery trial tries us and the fire burns away the dross. And so those are times that God is even more near to us, even in death and pain and hospital rooms. And so here God, Abraham is climbing up the mountain, and I know he was obeying God, and I know he realizes that God will raise him from the dead, but I got to put a knife to my son's throat. So at the top of the mountain, there's an altar, there's a knife, and here's Isaac. Daddy, I see the altar. I see the fire, and I see the wood. But I don't see no sacrifice. You know what Abraham said? Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now we talk about the faith of Abraham, but you never read where Isaac put up a fight. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a whole nother sermon for another day. Adrian Rogers preaches it much better than I'll ever preach it. But let me tell you, in fact, the sermon is called The Gospel According to Isaac. Isaac allowed himself to be bound, and so did Jesus. Isaac willingly laid on the altar. Jesus willingly laid on the cross. And by the way, I like what Isaac asked Jacob. He said, Daddy, I see the wood, and I see the fire. Well, you know, the instruments to make the fire, maybe not the actual flame. I see the wood. Somebody say the wood. And somebody say the fire. And fathers, let me tell you, your children need to see in your life, maybe not so much wealth. That's a good thing. Maybe not so much sports. That's a good thing. But always let your children see the wood of the cross and the fire of the Holy Spirit. when I have children, and please note, I'm 46 and my wife is 40. And please know that I'm still believing God that we're going to have children someday. In fact, the Lord gave me, as I was sitting in the parsonage of the Living Waters Church, it was right down the road here, 2906 Flowers Drive. They had a nice parsonage, and upstairs was a nice office. And I was praying one day, and I ran across that scripture that says that you will see your children's children. And that was dated in 1998. Now, Pastor, you told me to write those promises down and tuck them in your Bible. So I'm getting together those promises, and I'm going to just carry them around in my Bible and just remind the Lord. Now, I'm 46, and I'm like, okay, God, the biological clock is really gone as far as me and Darnell are concerned, naturally. So, but Lord, I don't know what you got in mind, but at this point, we'll take a teenager. You know, I don't know if I want to change diapers at 50, maybe some teenager needs a mother and a father and needs somebody to be with them on graduation and walk them down the aisle. Lord, I still believe I'm going to see my children's children. I'm going to be a granddaddy one day. Glory to God. You know why? Not because of what Mother Nature can do, but because of Father God. Well, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. And so, I forgot totally what I was saying, but I'm just here to tell you, when God gives you a promise, it's going to come to pass. And so, Isaac's laid on the altar, and Abraham picks up the knife. Folks, just stop right there and think. What a sacrifice. What a faith in God. To go beyond human logic, to go beyond human heart. And so Abraham is going to, the next moment, bring the knife to his son's neck as they do the lamb. They pull the lamb's head back, cut the throat, and the blood would pour out, and quickly death would come. But, wait a minute. Here we go. Brother Baker, just follow me I'm going right over here. As the knife is raised, hold on, let me put this on microphone. What in the world? And then he hears a voice. Abraham, don't take your son's life. Now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you're not willing to let anything come between you and me. Now I know that you love me. Now I know, Abraham, I never intended for you to kill your son. Abraham, one day I'm going to give my son, and he's going to take your place, and Isaac's place, and everybody's place, and my place, and Jerry's place, Pastor Jerry's place, and somebody shout glory for the hallelujah that he has taken my place. And that was a ram caught in the bush. Now, somebody said as Abraham was going up this side of the mountain, the ram was coming up on the other side of the mountain. Just obey God. If he says tithe, tithe. If he says come to church when you don't feel like it, come to church when you don't feel like it. If he says don't buy this just because everybody else has got it, then don't buy it. I don't care if the man at Best Buy tells you to wait on it. I'm just here to tell you, obey God, love the Lord, lay everything on the altar. If he tells you to quit a job, now listen, make sure you've heard from the Lord. Don't just quit the job because you're mad, because you're not really doing what you're supposed to do and you're under pressure. No, maybe you need to do better on your job and quit your old ways of working and have a, you know what I'm saying? But if he tells you now, and it's really the Lord and he's really confirmed it, just trust him and obey him. Why? Because you will learn his name. His name is Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. He will provide the ram in the thicket. And if you owe taxes, throw your hook out into the water and fish and bring up a fish, and there's enough money to pay your taxes. And when you're at your worst, like Adam and Eve, there's a bear over there that's got some skin and you need some clothes. Next thing you know, that bear is gone, but you're clothed with a fur mink coat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you might be in a wilderness, and all you see is dust and a big old rock, but knock that rock, and out of the hard places will come water, and he will give you life in the desert. I wish somebody shout amen tonight. You might have only 300, but before you look around, glory to God, old Gideon, 300 can whip 35,000 with the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Oh, let me tell you, you might be by the brook, and it might be a famine in the land, and old Elijah is in trouble for preaching, and they're out to kill him, and nobody's got food, but as he sits by the brook, coming from the air, drops a quarter pounder. Hallelujah. From the ravens. Glory to God. And the brook doesn't dry up, because my God is Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide no matter what the economy does, no matter what the Democrats or the Republicans do, no matter what the my God is Jehovah Jireh. Somebody shout amen. Oh, Hezekiah, you are surrounded, completely surrounded by an old terrible army. 185,000 troops are about to pounce on little old Jerusalem. Isaiah the prophet, the pastor, said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. I said, don't worry about them. Just go to bed and go to sleep. Trust God to pay the bills. Trust God. Have you fasted and prayed and believed God? Yes, I have. Then when you put it in God's hands, it's going to be all right. I got a feeling it's going to be all right. Amen, Brother Ray? You sung that a few weeks ago. And so the next morning, guess what? There are 185,000, but guess what? They're all dead. Are y'all still there tonight? What happened? One angel wiped them out. Dead, gone. We give up on the brink of a miracle. I said we give up on the brink of a miracle. And you might see Lazarus dead for 4 days. Am I going to heaven? I hear some chimes of some bells. I'm looking to see the golden streets. I really, really hearing some chimes. So over and over again, Jehovah Jireh at the rock, manna from the sky, cloud by day, fire by night, 300 against an army of 22,000, ravens by the brook, the widow woman's barrel never depleted, King Hezekiah, 185,000 dead. In the book of the New Testament, the leper cleansed. Tax money was paid. Lazarus raised from the dead. The calming of the troubled waters in Mark 5. The feeding of the 5,000. The deliverance of the demons. The demoniac of Gadara. Think about the book of Acts. Prison doors were opened before Peter. Peter's going to be executed the next day. And the church was praying for his release. And all of a sudden his chains fall off and angel wakes him up. Wakes him up now. He's asleep. Can I ask you something? If you know you're going to be hanged tomorrow or executed tomorrow, would you doze off? Probably even the most saved among us would probably not sleep well. We should. Peter was. He was just, I just picture this old older man, you know, about mid-40s going, and he's about to die. Let me tell you why he was snoring and why he was sleeping so well. Because he knew the Lord was going to take care of him. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And sure enough, in the middle of the night, an angel said, come on out of this prison. And he lived on and preached for many, many, many years. Your life is not in the hands of the executioner or in the hands of your employer. Your life is in the hands of Jehovah Jireh. Paul was on a ship and the ship was going down. But oh, Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whose I serve, who said, not a man will be lost if you will hang on to the ship, the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And we're going to make it, church, because he is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Somebody say he's the God of the Bible. Well, let me tell you, you say, well, that's just in the Bible. Well, William Booth had an orphanage and he believed God for the needs of that orphanage in London, England. And one day he didn't have enough bread, didn't have enough food. And this is a true documented story. And he gathered the children in, no food, just like he did every day at 12 noon. He got them down, got them quiet, and they're all looking at each other. He said, we're going to do what we've always done. Let's bow our heads and pray the blessing. And there's no food there, but he's going to do what we normally do. As he's saying the blessing, knock comes on the door. And the local bakery there brings them enough food and more. Can somebody shout amen? Yeah. Jehovah Jireh. Say Jehovah Jireh. Come on. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Amen. John G. Lake. John G. Lake, one of the great healing evangelists. He was a millionaire. God told him to liquidate all of his assets. He had nothing. God told him to go to South Africa. He had to have like $300 to get off the boat. He didn't have no money. And so he got on the ship by miracle. He sailed all the way down into South Africa. This is a true story. I read it in his biography. By the way, reading these great books and biographies will build your faith. And here he is, Pastor Jerry. He's in line to get off of the ship and he doesn't have the $300 to get off, to disembark and to go to South Africa. Now I want you to picture this. The line's moving. The next one pays. The line's moving. The next one pays and he don't have a dime. Three people in front of him, they pay. Two people in front of him, they pay. Now listen to me. And right as the man was paying in front of him, and he still didn't have any money, some man walks up, taps him on the shoulder. He said, are you John G. Lake? Yes, sir. Hands him $300. He steps up, pays it, and he walks into South Africa and builds one of the greatest churches that exists to this day. My friend, that's called... Somebody say Jehovah Jireh. You say, well, that's William Booth. That's John G. Lake. That's Abraham. What about you, Brother Ricky? Yeah. I was in the hospital with my mother one night. She was assaulted, physically assaulted by another grown woman. I mean, a fist fight. Don't ask me why it happened. Because it was over something dumb. But my mother got into... Don't mess with my mama. I promise you. She going to take you... She might die, but she going to die taking her stand. Amen. Bless my mother's heart. She got into it with a woman 30 years younger than her. Don't look at me like that. Y'all got family too. Why y'all look at me like... I know you're cousins. I know some of y'all kinfolk. We Wilson County and Nash County guys. I mean, come on. We get ready to rumble. Amen. But all joking aside, that woman liked to kill my mother. I was on the phone with my mother that day and I knew what was about to happen. I said, Mother, get in your car right now and get to Kinston, North Carolina. I screamed into the phone. I said, you never listen to me. I'm a man of God. I'm telling you by the word of God, get to Kinston now. Well, she didn't listen to me. And so we were in the hospital and they came up to me and they said, Mr. Nelms, said my daddy was dead. I'll never forget that night because I was the pastor of West Road Church in Kinston. Nobody from the church was there. Nobody was there. My sister was in another room. She was assaulted as well. And I was sitting there right by myself. And they came and said, your mother's C4 vertebrae has been fractured. And they said, Mr. Nams, I want you to understand something. If that C4 breaks, she'll never breathe on her own again. We're immediately sending her to Greenville. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When that nurse left, me and God had a little talk. And when we got to Greenville about 2 a.m, I sat in the waiting room. And a nurse came back there about 2 hours later and said, are you Mr. I'm Mr. Nims. That's your mother. That's my mother. Mr. Nims, I'm about to shout. Let me tell you. In fact, I'm getting ready to shout. Just get ready. He said, Mr. Nels, we see the x-rays from Nash General. We have x-rayed here, and we did not see that fracture. And we have x-rayed the second time to make sure we didn't miss something. Mr. Nels, your mother is going home. Hallelujah! Glory! I said, in the mount of the Lord. Notice it said, Brother Blue, put up there Genesis 22, and I'm bringing this to a close. Hallelujah. Genesis 22, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is seen, as it is said to when? It didn't say as it was seen yesterday, or as it was saw back then, or as it was saw back at Nash General Hospital. I'm here to tell you today, September the whatever the 13th, 2017, God is up. He is Jehovah. It's about to be seen, the promises. It's about to be seen, your healing. It's about to be seen, your deliverance. In the mount of the Lord, I hear the rustling of the bushes. God's provided a ram. We ought to praise Him. We ought to glorify Him. Somebody shout, hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh. It shall be seen. Somebody say, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. Look at that. It shall be seen. My healing, it shall be seen. My financial breakthrough, it shall be seen. If you're single, it shall be seen. Your spouse, an old-fashioned revival, it shall be seen. My children off drugs, it shall be seen. The fulfillment of all the promises. And everybody said amen. Stand with me tonight. Amen. The following is a true story taken from the proceedings of the United States Naval Institute. A man was telling what happened one day in the maneuvers, and two battleships were maneuvering. And they were in training. They were at sea, and the seas were heavy, and the visibility was not good. The captain was on the bridge and on the watch out to take care of the ship. And a message came. The message came from the man on the lookout, and this is what he said. He said, there's a light bearing on the starboard bow. And so the captain of the ship said, is the light steady or is the light moving astern? The answer came back from the wing, it's steady, sir. And so the captain said, signal that ship. We're on a collision course. And tell them they are advised to alter their course by 20 degrees. So they signaled. They flashed a signal to the, and the responding signal was, no, you alter your course 20 degrees. And the captain said, how dare they? And the captain was infuriated and said, send the message back. I am a captain. You alter your course 20 degrees. And the message came back. I am a seaman second class. Advise that you alter your course 20 degrees. Now I'm going to tell you, the captain was mad and upset. He said, the captain was furious, and he sent back the message, I'm in a battleship. Alter your course 20 degrees. The message came back, I'm the lighthouse. Alter your course 20. Woo, glory. We think we know how to handle it. We think we got it all figured out. We think we're in the ship and we see the message coming from and we don't really understand. But let me tell you, God is speaking. You're the captain, but he's the lighthouse. He's Jehovah Jireh. I want you to give him a hand of praise and alter your course. Amen. Alter your course. Don't argue with the preacher. Don't argue with the Lord. Say, you will provide. If you ask me to offer my all, I will alter my course because I know that when I alter my course, then I'm on course for his favor and for his blessing and for open doors and for miracles and for the Lord to work. Now, one more time. I know you're tired of it, but get a second wind and say hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you tonight. Lord, we bless you tonight. Pastor Jerry, come up and finish out and dismiss us. And we are just believing the Lord to do amazing things among us tonight. Amen.
I thank God for the lighthouse. Don't you sing that song, I thank God for the lighthouse.
Amen.
Do you sing it? Come on.
Just sing it a cappella, brother. Come on. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for the lighthouse. You just start singing it, and I'm going to jump in behind you 20 degrees, I promise.
Okay, give me a... Hallelujah. God, for the lighthouse, I owe my life to thee. For Jesus is and from the rock of sea, he has shone the light around me, that I might safely see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where. Anybody
in here tonight? God is calling to you.
My life to him.
Some of you teenagers, I've seen some of you come and walk away. Walk away from God this time. The Holy Ghost is calling you.
Of me. He has shown the light. Wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where this should be.
I know it's late, but let's come on to the altar and give that person a chance.
I thank God for the lighthouse. I clearly see, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where the ship be.
On that piano. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord right now. We love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We just thank you that you shone the light of your glory around us one day. Everyone that's gathered in this altar, Lord.
Praise God.
We came, Lord, because of the light, the glorious light of the glorious everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that wherever we go, that you are there with us. Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh that provides for every need. Lord, now, the need in this place. Lord, whatever the need, I give it one according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the life.
Woo!
Glory.